This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio, when we spend an hour talking to some very interesting local women about subjects surrounding their work, lives, children, as well as their amazing experiences. I'm Anne Twist, and today I'm delighted to be working with Mandy Dynelly. How are you, Mandy?
I'm really well, thank you, Anne. Yes, looking forward to another fab Just Women show. Today we have some great guests as usual. First up, we have Emma Selby, who runs the Farnham Business Hub, Donna Costello of Tolworth Fencing, and last but not least, we welcome back Karen Chapman from Renaissance Interiors and her colleague Sarah Tai. It's great to have them all on the show. We're really looking forward to learning about their various businesses and experiences.
Thanks, Mandy. And so to start today's show, I'd like to welcome our first guest, Emma Selby. Lovely to have you on, Emma.
Hi, Anne. Lovely to be here.
It's great to see you. So, Emma, perhaps you could explain to our listeners what happens at the Business Hub. How does this sort of work differently from, say, a typical networking group?
Well, we like to say that we're a very down-to-earth and friendly group. We concentrate on training and we really focus on helping individual business owners move their business forward. So we like to work with the group to understand what their particular challenges are and help them take the next step to move their business forwards, as well as the normal kind of just general camaraderie and banter that goes with any business group.
And is it sort of a sit-down affair, or is it sort of stand-up and mix and mingle? Or, I mean, I've only ever been to a networking event where you sort of all sit around a table and stand up and sort of present for 2 minutes and listen to everyone else, or...
We don't do that thing where you have to pitch your business.
No.
We don't do the minute. We don't exchange business cards. We try to steer clear of anything particularly formal. So what happens is people turn up any time after 9 o'clock for a cup of coffee in Farnham. We're upstairs at Pizza Express. Very kindly, a little plug for Pizza Express there, because they're absolutely brilliant and they give us free coffee all morning. We go upstairs after an hour of kind of chat. We go upstairs and we have a reasonably ordered and formal sit down where we have a talk or a workshop presented by one of our members or a guest speaker for a full hour on something that is quite detailed and very relevant to business. And the reason for that is that I believe that most business owners don't have all of the necessary skills they need in this climate, particularly in the digital arena, to grow their businesses in the way that they would like. Yeah.
So why do you think that there's a lacking of that in the area that you're in with the hubs, the support for local business people who are, entrepreneurs?
In the digital arena, you mean?
Yeah, or just specifically? As far as entrepreneurs are concerned, you seem to be addressing that and helping them enormously with content. And
yes, I think a lot of us started our businesses before the internet era. I mean, not to give away too much about my age, but a lot of people in my age group have no idea about how to run a business online, and yet they find themselves in the position of being entrepreneurs and business owners and trying to sort of manage this the current world that we live in without the skills that they need, which is a problem because it really affects productivity, and it's likely to impact on the success of your business. So when I started the Hubs, I identified there was a real need for business owners just to learn a little bit more about how to run your business online. That's not all we do. We cover things like leadership, accounting and legals, the traditional business skills as well. But particularly with digital, there is a real need for businesses to kind of get up to date. And the way that we do that is by bringing on people who run businesses in the digital sphere, web developers or SEO experts, or people who work with Google AdWords or Facebook advertising. And they will come in and explain to our members how to do the basic things that you need to do online to get your business moving forward.
So they're guest speakers as opposed to sort of existing members kind of sharing information with other members, would that be?
Yes, so yeah. It's very much, we call it peer-to-peer training. So I like to think that every town has those resources. So in every town you'll find really good experts with a lot of experience in these areas, in whose interest it is to come and talk to business owners about this, because they may pick up customers by doing that.
Yeah, and it's a membership-based...
Yes, it's membership-based.
Yeah. Okay, and then sort of typically, how many people would be there each week? Does it vary considerably?
Between 20 and 30.
Oh, okay, good number. Mm. You think you go, don't you, Mandy?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely brilliant. The skill sets that you pick up are incredible.
Imagine.
There's a huge range of people There's a lot of content.
It's quite diverse, isn't it? The kinds of businesses that come can be people like Mandy, who you work pretty much on your own, don't you, with your Stella and Dot jewellery business, and you come along to learn how to market your business and to pick up, presumably to make contacts and friendships and get that support behind your business that everybody needs.
Because I think what you offer is, when you're working for yourself, it's quite isolating. And it's somewhere to go when you're feeling a little bit isolated in your business. I think it's fantastic.
I agree.
It's absolutely brilliant.
And is the format, you know, you turn up on a Friday, what's it, 2 or 3 hours? Or
3 hours, yes.
So
Friday in Guildford, it's on a Monday. We're about to open one in Borden, which is going to be on a Tuesday.
Okay.
And there's one opening here in Kingston, which is going to be on a Thursday. Not here in Kingston, but, you know, in the area.
And do you go to all of them?
No, I don't.
No,
I go to, at the moment, I go to Farnham every Friday because I have been running Farnham every Friday. I think I've missed 2 Fridays in the last 4 years. So, and those were because I was very ill. So actually, one was because I was away, and one was because I was ill. But anyway, that is coming to an end. Actually, so I'm extricating myself from the day to day running of the Farnham Hub, and I am now your business hub, which sells franchises. So my goal is to have one in every town in the whole of the UK. So
Brilliant.
As a first step on that road, I am very lucky to be handing over the reins of the Farnham Hub to two people I think are absolutely fantastic, and that's happening on Friday. So as of the 1st of June, I will no longer be running the Farnham Hub, so it's a big step for me.
Yes, it is. It is, but a great new adventure in franchising.
Great new adventure.
And that must be a huge learning curve in itself. Have you picked up tips to do that from your members?
Yes, I started writing a book called How Not to Start a Franchise Business.
Excellent.
Because the first two that I began fell by the wayside. I had an interesting year in 2014-15. But then now, Guildford Hub started in, I think it was opened in March 2016, so it's just come to the end of its first year and has been a runaway success. And Joe McGowan, who runs it.
I was
going to
say, it's Joe, isn't it?
It's Joe, yes.
Yeah.
I believe
she's been on the show with you.
So she's made a great success of it, which is fantastic, and all credit to her. And so now we're moving on and opening more franchises across the area.
Gosh, we'll have to have you back on just to talk about franchises. Because I think that's a whole interesting subject in itself, to be honest.
Yeah. Yes.
So people that come along to the hub, are they all business owners? Or could they be people who are in business but they don't have their own business?
They're mostly business owners.
Yeah.
Some people work in business development for a larger company.
Okay.
I'd say 90% of them own their own businesses, are owners and founders.
Yeah. And I suppose people who are thinking of starting a new business would be welcome.
We love startups to come along, and part of what I am really passionate about is helping people understand that they can start up their own business, that it can be, you know, profitable and successful, and it's infinitely possible for people to do it, for example, around children.
Yeah.
So if you find yourself at home looking after children, thinking, there's no job out there for me, I don't want to stack shelves in Tesco, what am I going to do? Then very often these days, with all of the tools that we have, all of the online tools, starting a business is a really viable option, but it needs to be done carefully, otherwise it can go very badly wrong. So the support of something like the hub is very useful.
Excellent.
I think the hub itself is such a great concept, and I think it takes you away from, although networking is fantastic and necessary, it seems to be networking, well, it is, in my experience, networking in such a healthy environment and collaborations. I mean, you must have seen some fantastic collaborations.
I absolutely love that. And one of the things that we are about, and you asked how we're different from a networking group at the beginning, and our hub owners are really there to facilitate commercial collaborations between the members, and not only between members but also members and the wider community in the town as well. So yes, we see it. I love it when I go into Farnham town just on an errand and I'll see hub members in cafes and talking to each other, and I hear about a lot of joint business projects and ventures that are going on between various hub members.
And they
what it's all about.
Well, they would never happen if they hadn't join the business hub, would they?
Well, that's
so right. That's amazing in itself.
I think the really important thing about saying that we're not a networking group is that when you go to network, really it's all about selling yourself and selling your product or your service. And so in that kind of environment, people are very unlikely to be honest about what's actually happening in their business. So you don't get that authenticity, and you're not really allowed in that environment to ask for help. And what we find is that we end up at the hubs giving an awful lot of emotional support as well as practical support, because it's really tough running a business. It's really tough. You have only yourself to rely on. And sometimes you just need to go into a group where you can say, I am having a terrible week. Everything has gone wrong. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that in a networking environment, because you will be, I think people would be worried that it might impact people's decisions to buy from them.
Yeah. It would show perhaps as a sign of weakness, rightly or wrongly.
But in the hub, we talk about our weaknesses all the time, and that's kind of the point of it. Only in that way can you really overcome them and realise that everybody else in the room has been through the same thing as you.
It's a bit like when you've had a baby and you go along to the NCT meeting and, you know, your child doing that? Yes, it is. You know,
yes.
And you suddenly realise you're not on your own. Suddenly you're amongst friends who are all experiencing the same thing or have had something similar happen.
And that can give you a real boost, I think. And I think I was listening to something on Freakonomics recently, and they were talking about headwinds and tailwinds and how important it and why it is that most humans really focus, we tend to focus on the headwinds, the things that we struggle against, the things that are stopping us move forwards. And we don't really focus on the tailwinds, which can appear invisible to us, the things that are moving us forwards, you know, so the good opportunities, the good luck, the coincidences, the things that have happened, the things that to be grateful for. And we really focus on the headwinds. And I think that's true, and that's just perhaps the human condition. And the hub can really help you talk about those headwinds, realize that everybody else has the same ones. You are not the only business owner that is struggling, you know, with download speeds on your website or whatever. And really appreciate the tailwinds as well, the things that brought you all together, the things that are carrying you all forwards. I think that's really, really important in business.
Yeah, it is.
I would think as well, I don't know if you agree with me, but that having all of this for these local entrepreneurs, etc., that it keeps them going. Because perhaps if they didn't have all this advice and all this support, they would give up.
A lot of people have said that. We have testimonials where people have said exactly that. Like, if it hadn't been for the hub, I literally would have given up my business by now. I could not have carried on. And also looking at the hubs and the people that are there and the members that we have, and we've been running 4 years now, no businesses have failed in that time. None of our members.
That's amazing.
So that's very good.
That is incredible.
Things change, and people change direction, and they change tack, but they keep going and they persevere and they persist. And I think if you have a really supportive network behind you, it's just so much easier. And we all become friends, don't we, at the hub? It's a very, very friendly environment. We spend a lot of time together. That's why I like the fact that it's every week rather than every month, because you just do spend a greater proportion of your time in good company, and that really matters.
It's like a pop-up office in a way.
It is like a pop. We get the water cooler banter. That's what we like.
Well, actually, that's quite important because if you have worked in an office environment and like all that kind of banter, and then you become your own boss and you're working from home, whatever, you miss that.
I think you do.
Particularly if you've got young children and you sort of drop them at school at nursery, then you do your work on your own, and then you pick them up. You think, actually, the only person I've spoken to today, are the children.
Yes, lovely as they are. They're not helping me move my business forward in any particular way.
No, and actually it's just good to get out and talk with like-minded people, isn't it?
Yeah, I think like-minded people like me, it's a very, very strong need in humans. Yeah. We all need our tribe. We need to understand that there are people like us around us that we can turn to. Otherwise, it's very easy. We talk a lot about mental health at the hub as well, and it was Mental Health Awareness Week last week.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely guy, Dave Biggs, come in and talk about how we can avoid perhaps some of these stress traps and mental health traps. And he mentioned, and I think everybody in the hub would agree, that people who work for themselves are very vulnerable to this. They're very vulnerable to stress, anxiety, panic attacks, and these kinds of things. And having that supportive network around you can really, really help with that.
Can I just ask, what's the sort of split, men versus women in the hub? Is it a
lot
of women?
It changes, actually. It tends to... At the moment, we're 70% men to 30% women.
Really?
But 6 months ago, it was the other way around.
Okay.
in the Farnham Hub, that is. I don't know the demographic of the Guildford Hub.
No, I'm just wondering if it's a sort of a female thing, you know, lots of women setting up their own businesses, sort of, you know, like the idea of that sort of inclusive arrangement, or whether it's, you know...
No, and we're completely gender non-specific. I cannot mention gender. We did start out as a mums group. So the original iteration of the Hub was mums in business with a creche. But it changed over time. So we got rid of the creche, we opened it up to men and women. It became very male-centric for a while. We found, actually, Rebecca, my lovely assistant, and I were talking about this about 6 months ago when we realised that we'd gone very much, that there were more women than men. And we just started to tweak the titles of the events that we run to make it a little bit more masculine. Okay. And that works. So a little bit more metrics, numbers, evidence-based stuff, and yes, so we can almost control the demographic by
how we
pitch the events.
Great. Okay, well, I'm afraid we've come to the end of our time, unfortunately, as much as I'm really enjoying this this chat with you. So I just wonder if there's any last piece of information or advice that you might like to share with the listeners.
My advice would always be trust your instincts, and very much so. Don't look at anything that anybody else is doing. And if you find yourself going off-piste, there's probably a really good reason for it. So trust that as well and keep going with it and keep going with it. And I found myself a lot more relaxed about my business since I started taking that view. In terms of whether I want to say anything, just be aware that we are looking for franchisees. This is a franchise concept, obviously. It's very much a business in a box. Anyone can do it. If you're an experienced business person, it can run alongside your business. So we're looking for franchisees in any town across the UK, really. And if you want to get in touch with me to find out more about that, you can go to our website.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is www.businesshubs.org. I think that's probably the best way. Or I'm Emma at businesshubs.org.
Brilliant. Right. Good, yeah. Thank you very much. Well, we'd love to have you on again in the future. I think we could carry on talking about this subject, but also about how it's going with the franchising.
Yes, well, I shall look forward to coming back and telling you. Hopefully it'll be all good luck stories and not disasters.
Yeah, it's all learning, isn't it?
You know, all learning, yes. I have done a lot of learning.
It's definitely all good stuff. And as Alan Sugar says, the person who never made a mistake never made anything. I always keep that in my head.
That's very true.
So thank you very much indeed. That was Emma Selby of the Farnham Business Hub. We are now going to take a short break, after which we'll be talking with Donna Costello of the Tolworth Fencing Company.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Do you need help with your Apple Mac, but you don't know where to go? Rafael is your local Apple certified support professional. He can help you with any of your Apple needs, such as setting up iCloud accounts and family sharing. Or perhaps you'd simply like to learn a few new things about your Apple Mac. Simply visit www.rafaelkukla.com or call 07907 795000 today to arrange an on-site visit in the comfort of your home or office. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
In Guildford and the County of Surrey, there's a wide range of things to see, do and enjoy. If you're looking for somewhere to eat, somewhere to stay, or somewhere to take the family, or perhaps you want to visit the countryside or indulge your passion for art, culture and heritage, explore bustling towns or take in a show, find a place that's romantic and peaceful. Whatever you're looking for, you'll be spoilt for choice. You'll find so many things to do. Visit Guildford.com is the place to go to plan your days and nights out. You can also book tickets, making us your one-stop shop. So go on, log on now to visitguildford.com. Great times are just a click away.
Hi, it's Jill Bennett. Why not listen in on Sunday afternoons between 2 and 5? I'll be playing lots of great tunes featuring classic hits from across the decades, news and events in Surrey, and your essential guide to a happier and healthier lifestyle. There'll be a guest each week sharing their expertise. So join me, Jill Bennett, this Sunday on Brooklands Radio between 2 and 5.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Mandy Dynley, and my co-presenter, Anne Twist. I'd now like to introduce you to Donna Costello of the Tolworth Fencing Company. Donna, could I ask you by asking you, how did you first get into fencing and why?
Well, that was because my dad bought the retail yard, but he at the time was still out on site doing the construction side of things. And he really wanted to get the retail yard up and going, but obviously couldn't do both at the same time. So it was his best friend, Tony, that suggested he brings me in to run the retail yard. Now, if somebody had said to me 10 years ago, you'd be working for your dad, I would have said, I don't think so. I'm not getting involved with fencing. But here I am, 7 years later.
So you must enjoy it.
I do enjoy it. I do enjoy. I enjoy the customers that we have. We have a lot of trade guys come in, regular trade guys, and you build up a relationship with them, and the domestic customers that come in. You know, you always have a laugh with people, and it's a nice environment to work in.
I can imagine it is, actually. And it does actually say on your website that the company had been going for over, is it 55 years?
Or? In 1960 it started.
Wow.
Yeah, my granddad started
That's
it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, very proud.
That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. That was a great story, actually, because I hadn't realised until I read to the bottom that you were part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'd read the bit at the top saying Patrick Costello, and it just didn't click with me. And then suddenly I realised, oh yeah, so your grandfather came over from Ireland. He was brought over by Tate and Lyle, the sugar company, is that right?
Yeah.
What was he supposed to be doing when he came over from Ireland?
Working for them. I don't know exactly what he was supposed to be doing, to be fair. but I know he was brought over to work for that company. And with his cousins, but his cousins went to Australia.
And have you still got family over there?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay.
No.
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 Oh, that's a shame.
We've got a lot of in Ireland, a lot of family relations in Ireland.
Have you?
From sugar to fences, that is quite a story, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, and there's three generations.
Three generations now.
Are there three generations now?
Because there was my granddad that started it, obviously my dad, and I have to give credit to my dad, he's the one that really took the business to the next level, because my granddad was very happy doing the domestic side of things, but my dad wanted to get into the construction industry, and he got involved with a lot of the big house builders and really took the business to the next level.
Mm.
So he'd done all that. Then his next dream was obviously to have the retail yard, but we had to move over to Morden because there's nothing in Tolworth anymore.
Okay.
Any areas that are up for sale, any bits of land are being sold for ridiculous amounts of money and being built on.
So how long have you been in Morden?
15 years.
Oh, wow.
But really, the retail yard has only been running for the last seven and a half years.
So was it domestic before that, mostly residential, not domestic, but residential houses?
It was when my granddad was alive.
Yeah.
But then when my dad went into the construction side, it was all the big house builders. And in them days, it was companies like Higson Hills, Langs. And then I think they actually could be wrong, but I don't know if they went bankrupt or they went down the pan anyway, basically.
Yeah.
And then he started doing work for Carla Homes, which were a fantastic company. Persimmon Homes, they're a great house builder as well.
Yeah, I saw the Charles Church.
Yes. Yeah.
Burns Brothers, and I'm trying to think of the other one.
It's always hard to think, isn't it, when you're...
It is, your mind goes... Oh, Divine Homes.
Yeah.
Divine Homes as well, he does a lot of work for. But unfortunately, he has given that side up. He only does Burns or Divine Homes now, because, unfortunately, as time went on, health and safety has played a big issue in it, and it's put the mockers on it, really.
Mm.
They've taken the health and safety a little bit too far.
That's a common story.
I was gonna say, we hear that in all.
Yeah, and I think people of my dad's generation, where they didn't have health and safety years ago, they just get to the point where you just think, do you know what?
Too much.
I've had enough now.
Yeah.
Let's get out.
Is your dad still involved in the business, or is he taking a bit of a back step?
No. He's still doing 6 days a week.
Oh, right.
He's still up at 4 o'clock in the morning. The lads start at the yard at 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock in the morning.
God, what a bunch of shirkers. 6 o'clock in the morning. Till what time?
They leave at 4:30.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
So yeah. Why the early start, can I ask?
He's always been an early bird.
Okay.
He likes to get out early. But obviously he can't work the lads any longer than what they do. So they leave at 4:30. I start at 7:30 and I normally stay there sometimes between 7-8 o'clock at night.
Crikey. Wow.
Catching up with, but I only do that now Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Right. I was doing it 5 days a week and a Saturday, but I've knocked that on the head now.
Decided you like a life.
I want my life back. Yeah,
absolutely. Goodness. So what is your, I think your role as office manager, what does that sort of encompass?
In all honesty, I think it's easier for you to ask me what I don't do.
Okay, what don't you do?
Don't drive the forklift, I don't load the vans, and I don't make any of the gates, the panels, or any of the stuff that we manufacture. Everything to do with the office and everything else I do.
Sort of HR and accounts. And
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right, jack of all trades, really.
Because
you've come from a sort of very different background. You were in nursing, I think, weren't you? Apart from when you were in a jeweller's.
Yeah, I was a carer.
Right, wow. Yeah. Okay. So you were a carer, and then, okay, so you were registered with a couple of nursing agencies. So it was primarily caring rather than sort of nursing as such. Would that be a fair comment?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then you kind of got into the management of the care homes.
I was still a carer, but I was into management supervisor of the nursing agency.
Right.
So I did that, I think, for about 7 years. But right. I still kept my hand in at Linwood Nursing Home.
Where's and worked that?
That's in Thames Ditton.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
nice.
It was started off as a council home, and then, like all of them, they go private.
Yeah.
But it was still a nice home.
Yeah. So what all those sort of skills that you gained there, you could then bring with you to the...
Yeah, I think so. I think probably more from Classic Car Hire, because I was the office manager there.
Ah, okay.
And that's where I learned to do a lot of the book work, because I did everything at Tolworth Fencing, what I did there. I did the VAT, did the, you know, sorted the customers, dealt with the bookings, hired out the cars and everything.
Self-taught?
Yeah,
it was all of
basically,
that self-taught? Yeah,
basically,
that's great, isn't it? Just goes to show, doesn't it?
You don't need all them qualifications. Experience is a lot more.
Experience is everything. Yeah, qualifications help to start with, but experience is.
See, I must admit, I've always been lucky. I've always been approached, really, for jobs.
Oh, that's good.
People have asked me, would I go and work for them?
Yeah.
So I've been quite lucky.
And your dad, did you sort of keep him waiting, or...?
No, I said I would do it. But to be fair, when I first started there, I didn't even know what an 8'4" before was. I had to get somebody to explain to me, what are you talking about? I just could not get my head round how they describe a post. But obviously now I know everything inside and out.
It sounds like the offside rule or something, doesn't it? What's that?
I know, it does. The alien light. I just wanted to ask you, actually, have you had a really strange request for fencing? Have you had a very, have you had an unusual request of something that needs to be fenced? Or is that a difficult question to answer?
Nothing comes to the forefront of my mind, no. But I did have a customer ring up yesterday and ask, is there any way that you cannot cement a post in when you erect a fence? Because he was erecting a fence for his client and the neighbour was complaining that she didn't want cement in the ground because it would ruin her plants. And I said, no. I said, if you're going to put that fence up, then I suggest you put concrete in, otherwise it's going to be coming down. And it's going to be 2 foot down in the ground anyway. It shouldn't be touching the plants.
And also it might fall on her plants. So better that it's standing upright.
So are you busier after a very windy, stormy spell, are you really busy after that sort of time?
To be fair, I forget now if it was 3 or 4 years ago, time just flies, but when we had those really bad storms, that's when people really got to know we were there.
Because you love storms. I bet you love storms.
We love the storms.
Yes, I bet you do.
But nobody knew, because they heard of Tom with fencing, but they'd heard of the erecting side of the business, not that we had a retail yard.
Right.
And where we are, we're quite secluded because we're on an industrial estate. We're not on the main road.
Okay.
So it's really been recommendation that has got us the clientele that we have today. But obviously, 3 or 4 years ago, when nobody could get hold of any fencing materials, everybody was going around everywhere to find some fencing, and we saw a lot of new faces, and they stuck with us.
That's good.
So that is good.
And do you, I mean, we were talking about this earlier with Emma, do you find that, you know, you've got a website, obviously, do you find you get a lot of traffic through people Googling, or...
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Okay.
Personally, I prefer the old-fashioned way of a phone call, because I think you can interact with people better than you can through email.
Yeah, but they've got to find you in the first place.
Oh, they've got to find us in the first place, yeah. But when people try and contact us, I always prefer a telephone call.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got 3 lines in the office, and there's only me. Unless my dad's in there.
Gosh.
Then, you know, if I don't get to the phone, I'm either busy with a customer or on another line, but I always ring people back, because I think that's the main thing you've got to do.
Yeah.
You can't just let that call go.
No, if you haven't got customers, you haven't got business.
Exactly. But we're quite popular for the stuff that we manufacture. I have to say, we are, and I will hold my hands up, we are the best in the area for close-bore panels.
What are they? This is really interesting, because I don't know anything about, you know, I know fences, there are fences and fences, but you do all sorts of fencing.
We do, but the close bore panels, some people call them feather edge panels, and they're just a normal 6 by 3 foot, 4 foot, 4 foot, 6, 5 foot, blah, 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 up to 6 foot feather edge panels, which have like feather boards on them, like close board fencing, but in a smaller panel. And we manufacture our own, and all the trade guys that come in, even the new ones that come in, have never seen them before, say they're the best they've seen.
Oh, that's a recommendation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And actually, you have some great testimonials,
I've
noticed on your website.
Yeah, but we don't manufacture the panels, we manufacture gates, we manufacture trellis, and we do a lot of bespoke stuff as well. We get asked, and if we can do it, we'll do it.
Yeah.
We've only got a certain amount of machinery there.
I didn't ask you, how many people have you got working for you? How big is the company?
It has got smaller in the last couple of years because 4 of the site lads departed. So at the moment, there is myself in the office, there's Adam, who's the main man in the yard, and there's Sean, who's my nephew, he's in the yard. And there's Nikki and Billy.
The next generation.
Yeah.
The next generation.
Yeah.
And there's Nikki and Billy, who also work in the yard, but they do the erecting side as well.
Okay.
And obviously, my dad,
yeah,
who would prefer to be on the erecting side. He hates being in the yard.
Right.
He's like a rat in a trap.
There with the sore head and all that. Okay. Right. Well, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our chat. It's gone really quickly. I'm sure you'll agree. So it just remains to ask if you've got anything in particular you want to share with the listeners, or any last points you want to make before we go.
I can't think of any, to be fair.
No, that's fine.
Just if anybody's interested in any fencing, give us a call.
Yeah. Okay.
Great.
So in that case, you prefer a phone call. What's the phone number there, rather than the website in your
Well,
case?
I'll give you both. The website is www.tolworthfencingcompany.com.
Okay.
And the contact number is 0208 330 0865.
That's great. Thank you for that. And if anyone does want to get in touch with Donna, that's the place to go to. So thank you very much, Donna. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
Time now for another short break, after which we'll be chatting with Karen Chapman and Sarah Tighe of Renaissance Interiors.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Our relaunched shop and post office in Church Street, Weybridge, has an improved retail offer, and we provide the vital services you need from your local post office. We have 20 foreign currencies on demand, and the new simple and safe travel money card that's prepaid multiple currencies on one secure card. Plus, for the last 10 years, we've been number one for travel insurance, as recognised by the UK travel industry. And for tax-free savings, we have the Premier Cash ISA. So pop in and see us at 24 to 26 Church Street, Weybridge. We are open 7 days a week, including Sundays 10 till 2. The Post Office, Weybridge. Convenience on your doorstep.
Enjoy a family day out at the Kempton Steam Museum and the Hampton and Kempton Waterworks Railway. The railway operates every Sunday and on Saturday the 20th of May. The Kempton Great Engine, the largest triple in the world, will be in steam on Saturday the 20th and Sunday the 21st of May. And there will also be a display of fascinating stationary engines. Follow the brown signs to the Kempton Steam Museum and to the railway from the elevated sections of the A316. To find out more, see kemptonsteam.org or hamptonkemptonrailway.org.uk. The magic of railway on your doorstep, every Sunday, 10:30 till 4.
I know how to avoid a soggy bottom. I know the name of cinema's most famous white shark. I know all the things you can do with a Maris Piper. And I definitely know the TV show that made this music famous. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Anne Twist, together with Mandy Dineley. Our third guest on today's show is actually a duo of interior designers, Karen Chapman and Sarah Tigh from Renaissance Interiors in Hartley Whitney. Welcome back, Karen, and welcome, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you on. So, ladies, I think this is quite a recent collaboration, is that right?
It is, yes. Sarah joined me in February after a month of sort of work experience.
Ah, so an internship.
Yes, absolutely. We hit it off so well. I wanted to take it further so that Sarah would join me and work in the business full time.
Brilliant. Okay, what a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, a bit of a surprise, to be honest with you, but a nice surprise, obviously.
But good for you, because I gather you're doing a diploma in interior design and just sort of rang around for some experience. And
yeah, that's right. I have had a complete career change, actually.
So I gather, yeah.
Yeah, so it's very difficult at my tender age to go out. It's not like there's a careers officer that you can go and speak to, obviously. So I just put something on Facebook, really, you know, if there's anybody locally there that I could just follow. And Karen answered my little spiel that I put on there, and I just thought I was going to be following her around and getting some work experience, but we kind of got on really, really well, and that was the beginning. Here I am.
Fantastic. That's such a good story, actually, because, you know, that doesn't happen very often, does it? You know?
No, not at all. Very surprising. And I think it was just Karen was just at a stage where her business is so busy, because she's obviously been established for quite a long time with Renaissance and very experienced. Yeah. And she just said to me that I'd come along at the right time, really, and needed a bit more help.
Yeah.
So it's lovely.
And I don't know, really, do you have different kind of styles that complement each other, or do you have different strengths that sort of bounce off each other, or how does it work?
We definitely have different strengths, but we do, we're a bit... We gel together very well, like a jigsaw puzzle. And what's really interesting is the first remit I gave to Sarah was I didn't want to influence her in her decisions at all. So I gave her the client brief and said, just go away and just come see what you come up with. And she sent me a mood board back, and it was almost exactly what I had in my own head. And it's actually quite uncanny how we come to the same conclusion quite often, which is really good for clients, because we don't have to then go to clients and almost ask them to choose between a Karen design and a Sarah design. Our designs are very collaborative.
Yeah, great.
And so we're not fighting each other for who does yeah, better
that's,
ones.
That's great, actually. So they really get a sense of it's a team effort, and you're
absolutely
singing from the same hymn sheet.
Yes.
And that's the right way to go for their project.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah, so there's no ego in what we do together. We really do work as a team.
Fantastic.
That's great. Brilliant. But you haven't touched on what you did before, have you?
Not yet.
Sarah, have we?
Well, no. So,
I was going to ask what you did as a career before.
Well, my history is that when I left school, I did my nursery nurse thing and then went on to do my nurse training. And then I trained to be a midwife. So for the past 25 years, I've actually been a midwife, practicing midwife. It's taken me a lot of places around the world and, delivered quite a few babies. I absolutely loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was an amazing career. Unfortunately, last year I was a little bit poorly and had to have a few stays in hospital and things. And I don't know if you understand the registration system with midwifery, but you have to go through some paperwork every so often and keep up to date and stay on the register.
Right.
But at that point, I physically wasn't at a stage where I could do all of that. And my husband just turned around and said to me then, well, don't put yourself under that pressure.
No.
Find something else, do something else that you want to do. And I was just like, whoa, okay.
Scary.
Very scary. Because
yeah.
Obviously that was who I was. That's,
yeah.
You know, I was Sarah the midwife and
yeah.
I didn't know any different. I'd been in the NHS since I was 18. And I won't reveal my age now, but it's been a while.
So that's amazing that Karen, that you found each other really
and took
that leap of faith. Both of you, really.
Yes, it was. And Sarah had been working on her diploma for some time and had reached about 3/4 of the way through it and then was reaching out because obviously coming to the end of that, she wanted to put into practice the stuff that she'd been learning. And as she said, was looking for a bit of work experience. And so she phoned me up and we got together and I thought I was going to maybe spend an hour or two talking to her. 5 hours later, we're still talking. And the only reason I left was because I'd had a client meeting set up, so I went off to do that, and we met a few days later, and again, just it was like we'd known each other forever. So I said, oh, what are you doing on Monday? And she said, oh, I don't know. And I said, well, fancy coming to a trade show. So we went to London, up to Olympia, to a trade show, and she was like a kid in a candy store. And it was just great, and it's fantastic to have that enthusiasm and enthusiasm and refresh my enthusiasm to share it with somebody else as well.
Have you always worked on your own then? Or
I have purple people within my team, so obviously I have curtain makers, upholsterers,
yeah,
decorators,
yeah.
But I am the kingpin.
I am the creative
person, and I'm the only creative person in charge of that design. So it is a learning curve for me, but towards the end of last year the business has grown to the extent that I really need help on a day-to-day basis on doing the client designs, bringing all those ideas and just those things that you need to do in the office, not something that you could, you know, farm out to a virtual assistant.
No.
Because it's creative. It's
yeah.
not administrative.
Yeah.
And I was really thinking, how am I going to find another me? Because that's really what I needed to clone myself, really. And so when Sarah and I met and we hit it off so well, it just felt right. It just felt that I had found my partner in business there.
That's fantastic, because that is so rare, really, isn't it?
It is. And we just thought this is something worth pursuing, really, rather than going, oh, could this work? Could it? We just thought, well, let's give it a go.
Go with it.
Suck it and see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teamwork.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic. Yeah. So what projects are you working on at the moment? Not that you can divulge all the information, but
no.
Are you working on separate projects or are you working together?
As I said before, we work very collaboratively. We do, we've got a lot of residential jobs at the moment. We are also working on a commercial job. And every job is totally different, you know, even though they're residential. But every job we look at is what is behind each job is the personalities of the people for whom we're designing, and that's who we take the inspiration from. We don't come in with a written Renaissance interiors design look. You can't walk into what to design, because we're designing for individuals and their families, and what we do is bring out their personalities and their lifestyles and put it and make it workable for them. So the only thing that is consistent across all our designs is the quality of service, the quality of the product that we produce, and it's those services that has won us the accolades that we've won over the last couple of years.
I was going to ask about that, because you've been nominated, I think, recently for Muddy Stiletto Award.
We have, yes. We had an email a couple of weeks ago to say that we've been nominated for a Hampshire Muddy Stiletto's Award for the Best Interior Design Shop, which is fantastic, and it's so lovely, and we've had a lot of people emailing us to say we voted for you. So
brilliant.
Yes, we're really pleased with that.
So you're in Hartley Whitney?
We are in Hartley Whitney.
Are there any others in Hartley Whitney?
Any interior?
Much competition in Hartley Whitney?
I couldn't possibly say.
Okay, put it another way. There must be physical other competition, but I suppose not necessarily people you consider competition.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. It's horses for courses. Our service is different from other interior design services.
Yeah.
Yes, and we look after our customers very, very well.
Ah, okay.
So how do you keep ahead of the trends then? Because obviously colour is a huge thing with interior designers, and a lot of people I know who have had an interior designer, they'll go for a particular colour. I mean, do you have people that say, I want to have this colour, and you'll say, actually, no, this colour might work better, and well, how does it all work?
Yeah, but some people come to us with a very strong idea of what they want, and sometimes it is perfect for them because it reflects who they are and they're very passionate about it. However, the practicality of some things, or you look at a space or the light's wrong or whatever, and you go, that's lovely, that's a great idea, but have you considered this? And you tweak it slightly. So by the end of the thing, they feel that it was their idea in the first place. But trends have changed over the years. It was, you know, a few years ago, everything was teal and brown, and it's moved forward, and everything, a lot of stuff now is, you know, 50 shades of grey, and I mean that in an interior design way. you know, a lot of it is very silver and grey, and then again, it'll move on to something else. But like fashion, it's very seasonal. You know, you have the catwalks with this season's colours, and the same thing happens with interior design. It does come along in phases, and it'll move forward. You know, again, back in the early 90s, it was all froth and frills, and then it's become simpler and simpler and more sort of stylized and clean cut these days. And I think that will probably continue as long as they don't bring back Austrian blinds.
I mean, I guess it's a skill in itself, isn't it, to not create something that's going to date really quickly.
Exactly.
Because this is a big investment, isn't it? It's not like just going down and buying a dress because it's very now and you're going out to a particular event and you can get rid of it afterwards.
Yes.
You know, this is there for a while.
It is, and that's why it's really important to get the core elements of it right, because things like accessories you can change fairly readily, and we would always advise a client to go for something they're passionate about rather than something that's faddy for the here and now.
Yeah.
Because in 6 months, the chances are that you unless you absolutely love that fabric or colour, you will find that you'll be sick of it really quickly. Mm-hmm. So quite often, if people want to make really bold choices, we will put that into accessories, but leave the base colour something that can be swapped, you know, will stay the same, and the accessories can change.
Yeah.
And quite often do that seasonally as well. You can do an autumn winter one, which is a lot richer, burgundies and, you know, the winter colours, and then you can change the accessories and have more of a summer palette. Obviously, that doesn't work for every room, but it does work quite well for rooms that, you know, you use it throughout the year and entertain in different ways throughout the year.
Yeah. Gosh, I hadn't even thought of that, changing it throughout the year.
No.
I mean, apart from Christmas, obviously, when you know, decorate it differently.
Yes.
Yeah. But the colours, I mean, for me, colour is a huge thing. And I look at interior designers in awe because I think how you pull it all together, it's incredible. How you make it look so, and I've seen some of your work and it is fantastic.
Thank you.
Vision.
Colour is very emotional, and you most people have an emotional response to it, and I'm not talking about that in a hippy dippy way, but you do have colours that you do respond to. I have happy colours. If I'm feeling rubbish, I will wear turquoise or lime, and it makes me feel better. And people have an emotional response to that, and that's why it's important to have that positive a reaction to a colour in your home. You know, that's why you use some colours in bedrooms and not in others, because you will have an emotional response to it. It is very important to love a colour, but it's not about colour just on its own. It's also about textures as well. When you're doing a when you're doing a design, it's about the textures and how it feels on your skin and how you sit in a sofa and, you know, how you feel within it. So a lot of it is emotional as well as, you know, just aesthetic.
Yeah.
Talking about furniture, I see that you, you've been designing furniture and you've got a piece of furniture that possibly is going to win an award. Is that so, right?
Well, we... well,
we're not going to win.
We are going to win.
You are going to win. Yeah.
No, we, are you a judge? That would be really good.
Yeah, so... Sarah can probably tell you more about that because it all started when, as part of her, diploma.
Yeah, so as part of my diploma... they're set in different assignments, and as I got nearer, I've got one assignment to do until I'm qualified. So as part of one of my assignments, they asked us to try and design a bespoke piece of furniture for a scheme that we were doing for like the brief that we'd been given.
Yeah.
So I'd come up with this piece of furniture in my head that I thought would work, considering I'd never done anything like this before. Obviously, I've just talked about my background, etc.
Yeah.
There's not much furniture design going on in hospitals, really, apart from if the bed can work up and down. But it's something that I really got my teeth into. And I just said to Karen one day, I think I've designed this piece of furniture. What do you think? Do you think it would work?
Yeah.
And then within 10 minutes, she'd got her sketch up with 3D drawing, and I kind of explained to her what my idea was, and as I came out from the other side of the table, she went, was it something like this? And I was like, oh yes. Now, and then she went, well, maybe we could just tweak it here, and what do you think about this and this, that and the other? And then I put it in, and I actually got a really good mark for my
for your assignment.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody from no, Stafford, it's fine, it's Stafford Uni, we're all right. No, it wasn't plagiarism, it was a ideas thing. Then I saw a furniture store online was,
yeah,
saying, are you a designer, have you thought about a piece of furniture? And I just said to Karen, oh, what do you think? So we're going to try and tweak it a little bit more and see if we can get
going to enter it into the competition.
And try and see if we can enter it. It's not bad, is it, Karen?
It's very good, actually. I think it's, it's definitely a saleable item, for sure.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, gosh, can't wait to see that.
I know, I'll have to have a look. That sounds good.
Oh, dear. Well, I'm afraid we're now getting to the end of the show, and so I just wondered if there was anything in particular you wanted to share with the listeners or any advice that you could offer.
Well, I think I say that when we walk into a someone's home and a space, there's a couple of things that we always have to consider. First about is who uses the space and what you use your space for. In this day and age, so many spaces are becoming larger and larger and multifunctional that you tend to have almost like a great room, which consists of a dining room, a sitting room and a kitchen. With a kitchen, it's a very hard space. So when you walk into it, and if you've got hard floors, and because the space is so large, and a kitchen is a very noisy environment, you have to understand that to live in that space with all that clattering noise against a hard floor and hard walls, you need to soften that. So you have to put in soft furnishings, and you have to know who's going to be using it, and all of those elements that you need to put in. So that lighting is really key. So you need task lighting, you need to have mood lighting, and you need to layer it up so that you can change the mood of a space throughout the day. But you also need to work with the natural light within the space as well.
Brilliant. Well, yeah, I think that's going to be really useful advice. So if our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, what's your website?
The website is renaissanceinteriorshw.co.uk, and remember that's one N and two S's in Renaissance.
Brilliant. Okay, thank you, Sarah and Karen. Hope to see you again in the future. So that was Karen Chapman and Sarah Tighe from Renaissance Interiors of Hartley Whitney. I'd like to thank all of our guests today on Just Women. That's Emma Selby of the Farnham Business Hub, Donna Costello of Tolworth Fencing, and Karen Chapman and Sarah Tighe from Renaissance Interiors. Also, a very big thanks to my co-presenter, Mandy Dynley, and a monster thank you to Graham, who produced the show for us this evening.
Thank you, Anne. And just to say, we're always on the lookout for local women to appear on our show, particularly those with interesting careers. and life experiences. So if you know anyone who you think might like to join us, then please email their contact details to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk and we'll get in touch with them.
Yes, and tell them we don't bite. Everyone loves coming on our show. Karen came back for more, didn't you, Karen? You can see details of our previous and future guests on our website, which is brooklandsradio.co.uk. We're also on Facebook, which is under Just Women at Brooklands Radio. So thanks again for listening, and join us next time for Just Women. That's live at 1 o'clock every Tuesday, repeated at 8 o'clock every Thursday, and we also have a podcast on our website for those who want to listen in their own time. So it's goodbye from me, Anne Twist,
and it's goodbye from me, Mandy Dine Lee.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.